Malco, Malca.
Hi.
Good
I guess he
evening.
hasn't come on yet.
No, ma'am, he hasn't.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good
Hello.
evening.
So,
Hello.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm just trying to get to the right page on my computer. We're
Okay.
going to be starting with Pasuk 71, I believe. Yes. And this is in section 11 from the Zuam commentary on the Zohar from Parsha Lech Lecha. And I'll start with the Lashon Yichud. Lishen Yichud Kut Shabri Kun Rishkin Tebid Hilu Urkinu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Urkinu Liakda Lishen Yudhe Bavadhe Yehuda Shalim Bishem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vahino Amadunai Elohino Alenu Maasei Yadenu Kanane Alenu Maasei Yadenu Kananehu Udrein Hamad Bechan Awo begin de haka it gale leya de ha kucha berifu shalit al kola biada ahma ila a madila hawa yada mikemas sina uvana Tirein mad becham tad ledarga deit galya tad ledarga yeit kasya tahate dehake hawa bekid maita ketiz even sham nizbeach Lashem ha hanneira ay la udomer uvatar kati the Tom the La, Kitty the Kinare, A La Wakola, Raza the Hakmata, E who. The translation, there were actually two altars, because here the Holy One, blessed be He, appeared to him as the ruler over all. He now acquired knowledge of the supernal wisdom, which he had not previously attained. He therefore built two altars, one for the grade that appeared in the world, and one altar to the grade still hidden. Come and see, it is written first, and there he built an altar to Hashem, who had appeared to him. And later, just, and there he built an altar to Hashem, without adding what appeared to him. And all this is according to the secret of wisdom. My commentary, this pasuk is clear as written, yet it hints to the spiritual law that there is always something concealed when there is a revelation of anything physical or spiritual. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I thought maybe he had gone from Fatma to Bina. Fatma being the hidden wisdom and Bina meaning understanding, the second altar. But that's what came to my mind anyway.
Well, you're right, because Bina is intent, generally speaking, we consider Bina revealed, although not all the time, and Hachma concealed, and again, not all the time, but more concealed than ever revealed.
Mm-hmm. I have two, maybe three questions.
Well,
the first question.
One at a time.
Okay. You said, are you saying graves? G-R-A-V-E-S? He made an
yes.
altar. Okay. What, or is this the Tzadikim that came before him? That left the world?
Maybe I heard the spelling wrong. Grades, G-R-A-D-E-S, D is in dogs.
Oh, grades, okay. I was hearing that wrong. I'm like, okay, that clarifies that question. The other question is that, are we talking about the Bina of the Keter and Hakma of Keter?
It's a good question. We're talking about Hakma and Bina of Malkut. Abraham is going, or Avram is going into the land. The land is in the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
When does Hashem appear to Avram? In exile, he appears as one level, and in Israel, he appears as another level. But all of them are within the frame of Malchut, or at the highest, Yesod of Zeranpin.
Okay. And this is just a thought that came to me today when I was listening to some recordings from August 1st, which was really a great teaching. And I was thinking, wow, you know, no wonder Solomon asked for wisdom, because included in wisdom is understanding and knowledge, because Bina and Hakma are always united, which produces.
Cool.
And I thought, wow, that was a revelation to me. So why do you ask for that? Because you got, huh?
Baruch Hashem. During the high holidays, normally most minions do not do this. But the Kabbalistic minyans utilize the teachings from the Ari. And when the ark is opened and you say the 13 attributes of mercy on the positive holidays, or the very positive holidays, you don't do it on Rosh Hashanah, but you do it on Yom Kippur and you do it on Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret. I don't think you do it on Simchat Torah, but when you do that, there is a meditation from the Ari where you can choose one of three personal wishes because the gates are open. The time of goodwill is at that moment as well. And the one thing you wish for is righteous children. And another thing you can wish for is parnasa, sustenance. And the third thing is that you had I forget the wording of it, but it really includes wisdom, it includes healing, it includes all the good things that come from Hashem are given in that third meditation. But you can only do one. And on the surface, most people don't realize that third one includes all the others. And it's the same thing here.
Right.
Any place the Ketzer appears, not appears because it's always concealed, but in any place there is a Ketzer, the Ketzer includes the following nine sefirot. And Chachma includes the following eight sefirot. So, as you said, no wonder King Solomon chose and asked for wisdom, because it included all of the other good things.
Right. Wow.
Are there any other questions or comments? The Pasuk 72. Go ahead, Martha.
So did he build three altars? You said he built two, then he built another. So was it three or two? Three.
No, in this case it's two. I was referring to, I was commenting on what you had said about King Shlomo.
Okay, all right.
Now, here it's saying that he built two altars because first he had to connect to what was revealed, but he also realized there was a certain level that was concealed. So he needed to build and make another sacrifice to connect to that higher level, the concealed level.
He's doing this conscious and his conscious, right? We're still in his conscious state. He's there physically, or is he doing this conscious? I mean, he's there physically, but he's doing it consciously.
But it's an excellent question. He built an altar physically, and he made sacrifices, he served Hashem both consciously and with physical actions. He then realized that he needed to make additional sacrifices and additional connections in order to connect to the concealed energy. So the question you're asking, or the question that the Torah doesn't make clear here, is whether he built a second altar physically
or he used the same altar, but did sacrifices upon that same altar. Not clear. The language in the translation is one, he built an altar to serve Hashem, who had appeared to him. But actually, he was, the name that appeared to him was Shaddai. We learn that in Exodus at the burning bush. When God tells Moses that he didn't appear to Abraham as Hashem, but only as Shaddai. But then it says later on, a few paragraphs later, it says that he built an altar without saying to connect to to Hashem who had appeared to him. The Zohar is again using the words of the Torah to be very clear, not just literal, meaning physical, but also it's talking about a spiritual level of consciousness.
And at this point, it doesn't say what he sacrificed. Was it a bull? Was it a lamb? Was it a, you know, it doesn't say what was sacrificed or how many sacrifices there were.
At certain, on his travel to the land of Israel, there was a covenant made between Hashem and Abraham and his children will come.
Right.
And that's called the covenant of the between the parts.
Right.
And it tells there what he sacrificed. I don't have it memorized, but you can look that up. It's probably in the Parsha of Noah.
Was he at Mount Moriah?
Uh-huh. Mount Moriah is where we have the Temple Mount today.
Right.
So Mount Moriah is within the boundaries of Jerusalem today. But this, the covenant between the parts, is before he reaches Mount Moriah.
Right,
Mount
Moriah
where he took Isaac.
Right.
But
where
I'm
did he build
the altar? He's traveling to Mor Kasdim. That there's the covenant between the parts. But I don't think, and again, this is memory, I don't think the Torah explains what he sacrificed, which animals and so forth. But we accepted that one sacrifice, the covenant between the parts. And that's where, you know, we could assume that if he was doing that sacrifice outside of Israel, he would at least do those same sacrifices, those same animals, within the land of Israel. Now, he might do more, but I don't think he would do less. But that's my intuitive answer to the question you've asked.
Okay, so where did he build the first altar? Where was that? What part of the Israel was he building this altar that we're speaking of?
The one from this pasuk, or the one the covenant of the parts from this
pasuk. Mm-hmm.
Was on Mount Moriah.
Okay.
He always sacrificed on Mount Moriah.
Okay.
Because that was the Abraham, in his energy sensitivity, in his meditations, he knew where the center point of the world was. And that was in Israel, that was in Jerusalem, that was on the Temple Mount. So that's where he went to sacrifice Isaac, that's where he went to do any place he built an altar would have been there. Because he knew through his energy connections, his energy sensitivity, he knew where the center of the world is. Verse 72, unless there's another question, which we're all, there's always more questions. Ugeni tata Avraham mi daga ladarga adus desalik ladargeya hahidikti laisavram halok vinasoa hanegjaba dadarom dehu hulake. Ulakeya the Abraham Faloch Vinasoa Darga Batar Darga Adisale Lidarum Witaman Itkashar Tata Yaut Disalak Lidargeya Lidarum. The translation, Avraham was then crowned from grade to grade until he ascended to his own grade. This is the meaning of, and Avraham journeyed, going on till still toward the Negev. This is the south, because he wanted to attain the grade of Chesed of Zeranpin, called south, Avraham's portion. This means he was destined to become a chariot to the Sephirah of Chesed of Zeranpin, and hence he is going on still, grade after grade, until he reached the south, where he was properly attached. Namely, he fixed himself so he could hold to the grade of Chesed permanently. He then ascended to the south grade, that is, he deserved to be a chariot of Chesed of Zeranpin, called south. My commentary is that the verse is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's commentary. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, yes, I assume it's Hebron is where he stayed, correct? Where he settled?
Say again?
He settled in Hebron?
Yes, the earlier it tells us he settled in Hebron, and then the other place, and now it's telling us he's settling in the south.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling us that he continued to ascend spiritually, grade by grade,
right,
until he reaches the level of Chesed of Zeranpin.
And that was through those 10 tests that he ended up into the south of where he was the chariot of Chesed. Was it the 10 tests that elevated his soul? To that.
I understand
world.
Your question. You're asking when did he ascend to Chesed of Zeranpin? And that was after the binding of Isaac. This verse, chronologically, is before that.
Okay. So he was still trying. He was still elevating himself prior to Isaac.
Correct.
Okay.
Good. we're out of time unless you have a few minutes if you want to ask another question, but we don't have time to go on to the next pasuk.
Is there, I know there's many questions, but is there a question I should be asking at this point? I mean, I'm trying to sort it all through my mind here, but.
Well, it's not that it's a question to be asked. I probably should make it clear in view of the answer I gave you to this last question. Abraham is in exile. God appears to him as Shaddai, tells him to go into the land of Israel. Abraham travels towards the land of Israel. When he reaches the land of Israel, he elevates. The test was he left his land. He left his father's house. He left his father buried in Haran. All of these are part of the life journey he had. But that each of those stages of his life journey, we have in our own lives as well. They just appear a little differently, and sometimes it's difficult to say what happened to me in my life. That's the same stage that Abraham went through. But essentially, when we pass a test, we're elevating to another level. But we start at the level that Abraham reached. People don't understand that. The light that Abraham revealed in his lifetime, we have available to us to grow from. But now going back to this Pasuk 72, what we are doing, Abraham, as he travels through the land, he experiences what he experiences, and he elevates from grade to grade, from level to level, from Sephirah to Sephirah, until he reaches the level of being a chariot, the Chesed of Zeranpin. So, in essence, this description in this pasuk is not limited to before Isaac or after Isaac. It's all inclusive. So I needed to make that clear. Not that I ever make anything clear. So now that I've confused everybody, it's time to end the class and tell you that we'll start back again Monday at the same time. And tomorrow morning, tonight, we will have a Zohar class from the Parsha Bereshit. And tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., we will be connecting to the Psalms. I believe we're at Psalms 40. Any questions, comments, or thoughts before we call the class?
No, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.